Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer.
Hey everybody, it's Joe. It's your buddy Joe. It's Sunday, January 29th, 10:32 in the morning. That's right, Sunday. I know I've mentioned before that I wanted to record these on a Friday, but I kind of like doing it on Sunday mornings now, and I'll get to that in a second. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope everyone had a great week. It's episode 4, season 2. And so I know I said I would do these on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, as soon as I clock out from working. But I kind of like doing these. I kind of feel like I like doing these on Sunday morning because Fridays I clock out and I just start, you know, my weekend. I start resting. And then Sunday, I'm pretty much enjoying my weekend, you know, resting my mind, enjoying my coffee. And I get to reevaluate my week, and it helps me remember things that I went through that I would like to add to the show notes. You know, usually when I remember something that, oh, this is going to be good, you know, this would be a good topic or a key point to bring up during the episode at the moment that it happens. But sometimes I'm just going a mile a minute, you know, and I tend to forget to write it down. And, you know, but Saturdays, it seems like, you know, I get to reevaluate the week, remember what I went through, and like maybe, you know, remember, oh yeah, I remember that happened. Forgot to write it down, but I'm glad I remember it now so I can just add it right now. And I think that happened yesterday, to be exact. Maybe it was some other day. But anyways, again, hope everyone is doing well. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. And this week was a pretty exciting week. It was a more eventful week. I officially submitted my first professional PR pull request, and it was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. I had the knots in my stomach again as I hit the submit button on that PR. And the lead engineer who reviews it, he did have some great feedback. There were things that I missed, and I made a point to put this on the show notes here. I like to call them, there were a handful of lessons learned. and it was just little obvious junior developer mistakes that even I make on my own personal apps, my own projects. But the thing is, they're my personal projects, and like if I leave code in there that's not used, or comments, or, you know, in there that I don't need, or print statements that, you know, shouldn't be there, you know, any little mundane things like that, I kind of did on this pull request. And it wasn't, you know, that big of a deal. It was just a block of code, a function that I left in there. And, you know, pretty much there was no need for it because I had refactored it into a more efficient function. And I think I went from a function to a computed property. So I didn't need that function anymore. I totally forgot to remove it. But the engineer who reviewed it was very cool. Yeah, he provided some great feedback. And it wasn't it's just, you know, little things like that that still get to me. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I missed that. But you know, it's a learning curve. It's I'm better for it. Now I'm gonna be extra careful. I know now I got to put it in my head, I guess, that this is not a personal project of mine anymore. This is something that I'm submitting to a client, multiple users. When I say multiple, I mean dozens and dozens of users are gonna see this and use it eventually down the road. So it's just little things like that that I need to be mindful of, and it'll shape me to be a better developer. You know, this is a learning phase for me. So I'm glad that it happened, and I'm glad I learned from it, and I'll make sure to prevent that in the future. So a couple of tips that I wanted to just, you know, go off the bat right now is if you're just starting out learning to code, great. But I would really suggest that you really get acquainted with GitHub. And I know that's probably the top five things that, you know, you hear a lot or you read a lot of people saying that, just, you know, learn to code, great, but also learn how to use GitHub or GitLab or Bitbucket. But considering that a lot of enterprises, a lot of companies use GitHub, I would really recommend using GitHub. It's free. You can buy a paid version of it, and it'll allow you to, I believe, query or connect to private repos. You know, if you send them to private, you can still, or something like that. And honestly, I don't remember the actual benefits of buying Pro. And the Pro version, it's relatively inexpensive. It's about $7 a month. I forgot why I bought the Pro one. There's a significant reason why I bought the Pro one. My thing is, I wonder if it's because it allows you to use GitHub Actions. I need to look into why or what the benefits are again, so I can justify the $7 a month that I pay for it. But the reason why you need to get acquainted with GitHub, not only that, not only to store your code in there and, you know, actually link it to a portfolio or your resume, but also explore the other developers there who have repos that are public and fork their code or clone their code and like submit PRs, like do something that will give you the benefit or the use of submitting a PR. And I say this because the PR UI, well, not the UI itself, but just the flow of it, it's pretty interesting because when I submitted my PR, and the lead engineer reviewed it, he suggested changes within GitHub. And he pretty much shows you this is what the code is now, and this is what I suggest at the bottom. And it's very elegant. The UI is very elegant. It shows you the differences in between the before and what could be the after if the suggestion of the code is accepted. Not only that, but let's say you, as the PR submitter, you agree with the code, you agree with the suggestion, and you want to apply those changes. Cool. Well, instead of actually going to your computer, making those changes, and then resubmitting the PR, you can actually make the changes on GitHub itself in the PR review. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, redo, like if you're suggested to do a whole function, you know, with multiple, you know, steps, and it's like, I don't know, rhetorically it's 20 lines of code. Okay, now you really want to, especially if it's a function, you really want to apply those changes in your code, in your IDE Xcode, and then run it, see if you get the same results using now the suggested code. And now you can like resubmit the PR and go through that way. Now, let's say if it's just like one or two lines of code, I would think that's acceptable, and it's not a delicate or crucial part of a function. And you know within your heart of hearts it's going to work. I would, you know, again, if it's a small piece of code, 2-3 lines, no more than 5, at least personally. I don't know, I'm just throwing an arbitrary number here. I would make the changes within GitHub. And then go to your code base and make the changes there and run it. And, you know, because you know it's going to work anyways. But, you know, I think it's really cool that you can actually apply the suggested changes of the code within the pull request review. I had no idea you can do that. That was the first time I found out about it. And I've been using GitHub since almost the beginning. I guess maybe within a year after I started learning to code, I probably, gosh, I could probably, I don't know if GitHub shows you when you created your account, but I want to say 2016, 2017, maybe the latest. But yeah, get acquainted with GitHub in all its aspects, not just because you know, you can store your code there and then clone and stuff like that, but also I think the best way to do it, and I guess this is why I've read and I've heard that, you know, go to other people's repositories, and if they allow to clone or fork and then make a, you know, pull request, change the code, add a feature, you know, stuff like that, submit a pull request. That way you'll have that kind of experience collaborating. One, you collaborate with another programmer, and two, you have experience submitting a PR and explaining what your changes are or your modifications are, listing those modifications, explaining and stuff like that. And yeah, that's great experience. Like those are like hidden gems to, you know, becoming a good developer. I wish I would have found this out. That way I wouldn't look like, you know, I didn't know how to work my way around GitHub, because I kind of do, except that I never did a lot of PRs other than my own. You know, you submit the PR, you as a reviewer, you allow it, and you just ship it to or merge it with your main branch. I've never collaborated with anybody recently, at least, or very recently. I never collaborated like this at all in submitting PRs and getting it reviewed and stuff like that, almost ever, never have. And it was another learning experience. You know, one, remember to clean up my code, clean up blocks of code that I don't need anymore. And then also getting acquainted with pull request reviews and just making it, you know, just, it's one of those things that really stands out to, you know, a developer who has been in the business. Like they can tell, I know they can tell that, you know, who's experiencing what. And this is another good way to show that, you know, you're very familiar with not only coding, but also GitHub. And that way you can collaborate with him, that platform. Honestly, I can't wait to do PRs again, because that was a really neat feature that I learned. So the other thing I wanted to give a tip on is see if, you know, working with RESTful APIs. I mean, that is, having projects like that in your portfolio is big. It's big because it shows companies that not only can you make an app that runs on your phone as a standalone app, but you can make an app that actually connects and talks to a remote API and parses data, queries that data, brings it down, and shows it on your phone, your iPad, wherever you're working on this this app here. Now, there are a lot of different REST APIs out there, and some of them are less secure than others. One, in fact, is one that I know, and you can find it on my GitHub, is this Pokemon API, or this app that shows, gosh, I guess the original 150 Pokemon out there. Don't remember how many. It's it's not a secure API because you, and I say that because you don't need an API key. You don't need an account to register to use that API. Somebody out there has another Firebase and they made it into a REST API and it's free and stuff like that. And again, you're just pulling data down. You're not, you know, modifying any data, that, which would require some sort of authentication. And that's a very very non-secure API. Now, when you're working with an API that has sensitive data, obviously you're going to need your user to have some sort of authentication to ensure that they have the right and the right access to view that data. Now, one that I can think of that's public, you just got to register for an account so you can get your API key, is the Yelp API. The Yelp API, when you're making a call to said API, you need a key to be able to identify you, like, hey, you know, this is John Doe. This is his key. Yes, he does have a registered account, so he does have the right to access the API of data. Now, not only do you need an API key, but you also need these headers that is required by the call. These headers have, you know, some sort of distinct meaning and use for them. I'm not a back-end developer, so I don't know the proper explanation of it. I just know that these headers are required within the URL. Now, you don't see the actual text within the URL. All you probably see is like the query text and maybe the API key or something like that. But these headers are HTTP headers that are required with the packet that gets requested from the server. It shows, it can have a header for the API key and some other, again, I'm not an expert at this, but I just know that it's needed. These headers, they can be configured within that call, within Swift code. You just know how to structure these headers. And things like that, showing that you can actually construct a URL with headers and query items being like, if you've analyzed an API URL, you'll see like it'll say query equals and then text that maybe that was manually put in there or hard coded in there. So let me just put this as an example for Yelp. Say you're searching for a restaurant, you're searching for all restaurants that serve seafood. Okay. Now within that URL, it's going to have query equals seafood. Okay. That's a query item. And you can, apart from the headers that you apply or you construct within the API call, you can also apply these query item items within the request or before you request the server to, you know, bring all the data, all the restaurants with that serves seafood. Now, it's very important, I think, to learn to work with different API calls, whether secure ones or non-secure ones, because I see that now. I see that working for a company, they have these headers that ensure security, that ensure authentication. You know, they have the access or the user has the right to connect to this API. And I learned that because this past week, I finally got an API URL and a key to continue working on the app that I was assigned, which is, if you haven't listened to episode 3, I mentioned that I'm working on an app that monitors the GitHub runners at the client's office. And these runners, they're able to output different types of parameters and they're able to post it onto this API that I'm able to now connect to and be able to pull the data from that server. Now, I was provided the API key, the URL, and I had to go in there and construct a URL to pass it on to the data a data task, and to be able to pull that data. And it was another lesson to learn, because I'm so used to just working with an API key. I've worked with Open Weather Map that asks you to provide that API key within the URL that you're calling. And, you know, I don't put in that API key within the URL for security purposes, especially if I'm going to put it on my GitHub, because anybody who goes into the code, it will be able to see that key. And that's a big no-no. you're supposed to use like Keychain or something to encrypt that key and then pass it on. But this is why using different types of API URLs is beneficial, because you'll be more well-rounded. You can show potential companies that you're interviewing for, saying, look, I can work with an API that is not as secure, and I can work with ones that are complex in nature that require headers, query items, so on and so forth. So that is a big plus to have on your portfolio. So those are two things that I wanted to bring to the table today and give you some tips on. And that's getting acquainted with GitHub and all its other features, pull requests, and just a great way to get started is to look at other people's code. Follow people. there are people out there with who are also iOS developers, and they have accounts and code on their GitHub. And follow as many as you can. Look through their code. And if they allow, clone their project or fork their project and then submit PRs, you know, that way. This is another big one for your resume, that you can put there, that you collaborated with so-and-so, you tag the person and submitting code, because that shows the client, the company that you're interviewing for, like, wow, this guy, you know, collaborates with other people. He submits code. He knows the process of cloning, forking, and submitting pull requests. Bam. That's, you know, a huge plus. That's a gold star there for you guys. So that's that. And another exciting thing that happened this week, and I want to say this past Thursday, MartianCraft, they kindly sent everyone like holiday gifts. Now, I know Christmas has come and gone, but I guess due to shipping drawbacks and whatnot, there was a delay in getting the items that they were going to send out to employees. So I got an email on Tuesday saying that I had a package that was coming in. And 2 days later, I got said package. And there was a lot of cool goodies in there. There was a couple of t-shirts, very comfortable t-shirts, a fleece jacket, which couldn't have come at a better time because it was like 40 degrees Fahrenheit here in Houston. It was very chilly for us. So that was that was a very enjoyable gift, because I actually got to wear it as soon as possible. As soon as I got it, I donned it on to keep warm. I got some journal books, two journal books actually. One, it has like no lines in it, so it's almost like I could probably use it as a sketchbook. The other one, I've seen these before. They have like the dots in them. I guess like that would be awesome to like do some wireframing on or something. I got some stickers. I love stickers, MartianCraft stickers. Pins, socks. Socks were very comfortable. But I think the chef's kiss in that package was this art piece that has the parts, like broken down with description of the parts of the iPhone 4. This was quite possibly my favorite iPhone of all, because it introduced one FaceTime. And it had the squared out flat edges. They were no longer curved. This is the, and I believe like, this is where the following generations of iPhones, this is where, you know, they were inspired to have the edges, the flat edges, because of the iPhone 4. So it's an awesome, awesome art piece. I hope to have it hanged up on my wall by my desk, and take a picture it pick take a picture of it and post it on my Twitter for you all to see, later. It's a pretty awesome, and I was so grateful because, you know, the company I worked for before, then I don't want to go back to that that bad time, but they never did anything meaningful like this to show that they cared, you know. And it was a very humbling experience because, you know, I just started this job and I get something like this, and it's just like, I'm not a very materialistic person, but these are small kind gestures that a company can do to show that they care, that you're a part of the team and that you mean something. And it was just awesome, very humbling, and I couldn't be happier with me being here. It was one hell of a hill to climb, one steep ladder to climb, but here I am, and I'm making the best of it. And more so than all, like, the thing I get to do now is share these experiences with you and, like, offer you more insight on how things are run on a more professional level. And this is why I like talking to you guys, giving you all this information, because I didn't find a lot of content out there like this that would give me the ins and outs. And when I started learning the code and I started finding people with vast experience in me, you know, I made a promise to myself that one day when I make it big, when I finally get my first professional job, I'm going to return that favor and, you know, bring content to those who are starting out. And I'm fulfilling that for you guys. I really do. And I do appreciate any feedback, any ideas, anything that you would like to know or learn about. I welcome it all. I would love to hear from you guys on what you all think. Now, with that being said, I have been thinking of another approach to bring you guys some additional content. And one of those ways that I can personify this a little more is to bring some sort of video-based content. And in this content, I would have more exclusive content, maybe more personable content, maybe more high-tech content, like showing different, you know, technologies and using different technologies pertaining to iOS. Now, with that, I'm thinking of starting a subscription-based podcast that allows video, where you can see me, you can see my screen, and it's all going to be through the platform that I use now. Nothing's going to change. I still will be recording free content, but the subscription-based is going to have, you'll be able to access that audio podcast, but also be able to see the video that I show. And I'm still trying to tinker around, brainstorm with the what added benefits will I be including in the subscription-based podcast, because I want it to be worth it for you guys. And one of the things that I have in mind, it's going to be ad-free, because I don't believe in, if you're going to pay for something, I don't see why you would need to have ads. It's like double dipping. And I hate, you know, when companies do that. like I said, it's going to be video based because I want to be a little bit more personable. I want you to see me. I want you to see my what I'm working on or what I want to show, what I want to teach. And I'm trying to figure out a way, especially for those of you who are already to the point that you're starting to build your resume, build your portfolio, and you're at the cusp of, you know, starting to apply and interview soon. I want to find a way to do resume reviews to those who subscribe. And I also want to include interview prep, some way where we can have a Zoom call, have a one-on-one, and we can have some sort of interview prep, maybe a simulation of an interview and stuff like that. The ad-free, the video-based, that seems very simple to tackle. It's the resume reviews or the portfolio reviews and the interview prep that I'm still trying to figure out how to incorporate that within the subscription. And also, I'm trying to figure out a reasonable price because I'll be providing this service. I want it to be reasonable for me and for you, but more so beneficial for you because you're, you know, if you're just starting out, whether you're coding or you're just starting to like getting ready to interview, I want you to land that job ASAP. I want you to, accomplish, reach that goal of getting your dream job as an iOS developer because I know the feeling and I want to share that feeling with you. So I want to make sure the content that I provide in this subscription-based podcast, that it helps you get there. And that's what I've been tinkering on for a while now. And I have, like, this is something that I don't foresee happening in the next week, in the next month. This is something that I can see happening maybe in 3 to 4 months from now. And again, I'm still tinkering with this idea. It's kind of in the back burner, but, you know, anything that I hear that comes up, I hear just random suggestions or I see something that somebody else is doing and they're providing and I'm like, okay, I can add that to the idea of a subscription-based podcast. So again, that's on subscription-based podcast. And as for this week's or this episode's Who You Should Know, I saw this tweet that that really just inspired me or reminded me of that, you know, it doesn't matter if you are an experienced developer or you're just starting out. I feel as these, it's more targeted to those who are starting new, but it really makes a big impact when you understand these four concepts. And these four concepts are from a gentleman named Paul Hudson. And if you do not know Paul Hudson, you must be living under a rock because this man, you can learn iOS development from this one man alone. He has awesome content, his own website where you can learn Swift or Swift UI. He has this awesome campaign called 100 Days of Swift or 100 Days of Swift UI, where you dedicate 100 days, whether consecutively or spread out. But as long as you continue to learn and progress, you learn a few things of Swift day by day by day until your 100th day. He has YouTube content that is just massive in videos and tutorials. And his website too also has these tutorials. And this guy, if you're not following him, you should. And he is who you should follow this week. This man needs no introduction, I will say this. because everyone in the iOS development community knows him. And he does, I mean, he doesn't even need like the, how do you say, the promotion or anything, because everyone knows him. And if you're not following him, you should. But this tweet that I saw this past week, it really hit me, because especially when I ran into that issue of where I left code behind, or I was just starting to, you know, use an API that needed headers, and I barely had any experience with that. But I saw this tweet from him, and he posted on the 23rd of January, and he says, "My top advice for anyone learning to code, don't try to remember everything. It won't help. That's number one. Number two, you're going to screw up a lot, and that's okay. Number three, after learning something, write some code using it to make sure you've understood. And number four, and this goes out to you all who are thinking of starting to learn, or those of you who have started to learn. It says, it's never, never too late to start." And I couldn't have liked this more. If I could, I would. it was a very impactful tweet that he posted, and it made me just like take a deep breath, and it really took a bit of the weight off my shoulders, because I was putting a little pressure on myself, because I was sitting at the desk and I was like, I can't believe I left that code on there. I looked like a noob, you know, and, you know, I couldn't, you know, I didn't know how to write a network call for an API that had headers. You know, I was so hard on myself, honestly. And I'm like, man, I should know this. I've been, you know, teaching myself iOS development for 7 years now. I should know this when we're done. And you know what? I did know it. But the fact that he says, don't try to remember everything, it won't help, that's what I did. I didn't try to remember how to write a network call. What I did remember is how to get there, to like piece it together. I knew how to piece it together. And because I didn't know it by heart, I still was resourceful in going on Google, looking for, you know, how to write a network call in Swift using async await. You know, I knew how to search for it, and I got the information. And, you know, that is a stepping stone to, you know, the resolution of not remembering everything. You can't. It's impossible, you know. And this, thanks to Paul posting this tweet, he reminded me of that it's okay not to remember everything. So he is my who you should follow, and you can find him on Twitter with the handle of Two Straws. He's a great guy, humbling guy, and like I just love watching his tutorials on YouTube. And if you have the pleasure in doing so, you'll find some cameos of his dog just going up to him while he's recording. It's the funniest thing. So, yeah, that's pretty much for this episode. Again, I really appreciate you guys listening. And I really hope that y'all are doing well. I can't believe it. January is almost over. And we're going on to February. The next time I talk to you guys, it'll be February. So, again, thank you all for listening. And one more thing, shameless plug here. I just mentioned I received Martian Craft merch. Shameless plug here. Don't forget to go check out my hoodie. You can find the link to that on this podcast episode, just about every episode, or on the actual profile of this podcast. You'll find the link there with all my other links associated to me, and I believe the top link is the merch link. Go check out the hoodie, and I hope you enjoy that. Again, that's gonna be it for this one, guys, and I do hope that you have a great week next week. I'll talk to you then. Be good to yourselves, be good to your neighbors, Hold on, keep trying, keep coding, keep interviewing, keep building that portfolio. You're going to get there. I promise you that, okay? All right, till next time, see you guys. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode. If this episode brings you any value, do leave a review, and if you have time, a comment. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and will help me produce future episodes. If you'd like to leave me a voice message, which I would greatly look forward to, head over to anchor.fm/myswiftjourney, click on the message button, and record away. I look forward to your messages. Happy coding.